the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, folks. This snow get you ready for Christmas? Just not quite enough, though. We need a little more, right? No, that's enough. Okay. Please do look at the bulletin, number of things coming up here. Look at the front, if you would, so you look at the weekly schedule and make sure you know it's coming up here. Of course, today at 10 o'clock, we're not having Sunday school. Instead of Sunday school, the kids are doing a Christmas program for us. So if after the service you go out and get your coffee and your tea, your cappuccino, whatever, come back in and the kids have a program they've planned and really worked on. So plan to stay for that and support them. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the first Christmas tree program, and then Wednesday the second one, both at 7. Saturday we will be having a Christmas Eve service, and then please notice Sunday morning next week only one service. That'll be at 10:30, no Sunday school, so please take note of that schedule. Keep that in mind. We want to welcome Marie Kuntz, who was baptized into Christ last week. Are you here, Marie, this morning? I think she's coming to second service, so keep her in your prayers. You get a chance, send her a note. They're glad to have her as a member. For the prayer list, please keep in your prayers Chuck Ellison and family upon the death of Darlene. The calling hours will be tomorrow from 2 to 7 at Hill Councilman Funeral Home. And then the funeral service will be right after that. But please keep the family in your prayers if you would. And then Louise Hoover lost her daughter, Melissa. She had surgery on her jaw. And afterwards suffered a heart attack. So please keep her family in your prayers. Please make the correction in the bulletin. The funeral is here at the church building. No calling hours. The funeral will be at 6 o'clock on the 27th, not the 26th. The 27th, Tuesday. Tuesday after Christmas at 6 o'clock here. So please make that correction in your bulletin. If you notice Bill Smalley on the prayer list, it says he's in the hospital. He's home. But please continue to keep Bill in your prayers. I believe they gave him altogether 8 pints of blood while he was in the hospital. So he's home, but I still think there's a little bit of bleeding, so he still really needs our prayers. Keep Bill in your prayers. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. Usually when we talk about the birth of Christ and those who were present at his birth, around his birth, we talk about the wise men. We talk about the shepherds. Certainly we talk about Mary and Joseph. We talk about the innkeeper, which is interesting because the innkeeper is not even mentioned in the Bible. And we talk about Herod sometimes and the soldiers. But there are others who were there around the birth of Christ we don't talk about as often. And it's interesting because they all fall into a certain age category. They're all senior citizens, senior adults. Do you know who the older adults were who were there at the birth of Christ? 4 of them altogether. Think about that. I know many of you do. Think about it. We'll talk about in a moment. I know some people might be thinking, well, maybe the wise men, because the wisdom usually comes with age, so maybe the wise men. Well, that's possible, but the Bible doesn't tell us their ages, so I'm not talking about the wise men this morning. Someone might suggest Joseph. Now, you've probably heard that tradition tells us that Joseph was an older man. I just was reading in Christianity Today not long ago, and they had an article about Joseph, and they had a picture, and the artist's rendition, he was old. I mean, you could tell by looking, a very old man. Some traditions tell us that Joseph died at the age of 110 or 111 when Jesus was 18 years old. That would mean that he was 92 or 93 when Jesus was born. That seems unlikely to me. Now, most scholars think that Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 16 when she married Joseph. And I just don't see a 16-year-old marrying a 92-year-old guy. Plus, when you think of the trips Joseph had to make from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, and then from Bethlehem to Egypt, and from Egypt back to Nazareth, even if he was in a wagon or riding in the back of a camel or horse, for a 92-year-old man, that would be very difficult. Now, it's possible he might have been in his 40s and 50s. they arrange marriage at that time, and Mary's parents might be thinking, boy, you know, this man has his business, he's doing well, he'll be able to take care of our daughter financially. So maybe they arranged the marriage with an older man. And that's possible. But to tell the truth, I don't see any reason to believe that Joseph was much older than Mary. Anyhow, the Bible doesn't tell us, so he's not one of the older men that I'm talking about. Do you know who they are? Do you know? Well, let's begin. The first two, let's see if you... Okay, Bridge, I need your help. The first two are Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, why do I say that they were senior citizens or older adults? Well, the Bible makes that pretty clear. Beginning in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both, what does it say, very old. Later on in verse 17, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man. He calls himself an old man. And my wife is well along in years. Notice, even back then, he knew not to call her an old woman, right? Even back that far. I'm an old man, but she's not an old woman. Well advanced in years. Now, these verses make it very clear, of course, that these folks were older adults. We don't know exactly how old, but I think we could classify them as senior citizens. Now, you know, today, the age for senior citizens is going down and is also going up. But what I mean by that is, if you're 50 years old, there are a number of organizations that consider you to be a senior citizen. AARP, for one. Now, you know why they do that. Because if they go down to 50, they get more people in the group. That means more money for them. It's an incentive. But if you're 50 years old, they're going to call you a senior citizen. A couple other groups do, too. Some start at the age of 55. And then, of course, Social Security, you can get that, if you wish, at the age of 62. And when you turn 65, you can start collecting Medicare. And it used to be, you know, that we classified adults, all adults, into three groups. We had the young adults, and then we had the middle-aged adults, and then we had the senior adults. But today, now, we classify the senior adults into three groups. You see, since 1930 till today, we are living in the average of 15 years longer than we did back in 1930. So the seniors are living a lot longer. So today, if you're 50 to 65, you're considered a young senior adult. If you're 64 to 85, you're considered a middle-aged senior adult. And if you're over 85, you're considered an older adult. Today, there are 50 million people in the United States over 50 years of age. That's about 16.5% of our population. Anyhow, back to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's interesting that when Gabriel announced to Mary that she was going to have a child, he also told her that Elizabeth was going to have a child in her old age. Her child would be John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way for Jesus. But did you ever think about the fact that Mary went straight to Elizabeth after Gabriel told her this news? Elizabeth and Zechariah knew that Mary was pregnant with Jesus before Joseph did. And they encourage Mary, and they praise God. Well, the next senior citizen we see mentioned is a man named Simeon. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to present him for purification. The Old Testament said this had to be done 40 days after the baby was born. So Simeon is going to see Jesus just 40 days after he is born. Beginning in verse 25, we read Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that, notice this, he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now these verses certainly indicate to us that Simeon was a godly man. And also they give us the indication that he was an elderly man. God had promised he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And when he praises God, he says, Now you can dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, after he saw the Lord's Messiah, he said, Now you can let me die. I've seen the Christ. You can let me die. He was ready to go. Now, this is a good indication. You know, I don't think a man who's 28 years old is going to say that. This is a good indication that he's an older man. Now, we see one other person at the birth of Christ, a senior citizen. Her name is Anna. We read about her in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 36. There was also a prophet. A lot of the Bibles will say prophetess, named Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, the language both in the Greek and the English is kind of ambiguous here. It's hard to tell if she's 84 years old or if she had married her husband and was married to him for 7 years and has now been a widow for 84 years. And I think the footnote in the NIV makes that case for that. Anyhow, think about it. If she married her husband and she was 14 years old, and then she was married for 7 years and she became a widow, that would put her at 21. And then she was a widow for 84 years. That would mean that at this point, she's 105 years old. I think we could put that in the category of very old. I think that would fit. But whether she's 105 or whether she's 84, we're all going to agree she's an older adult. And she is in the temple there and she meets the Christ child. But Luke tells us a few more things about her that I find very interesting. He tells us a little bit about where she comes from. Notice verse 36 again. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, from the tribe of Asher. Now, this is unusual in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, often we heard or read people's names and were told what tribe they came from. But you get in the New Testament, you don't see this very often. You know, Jesus, of course, we need to know what lineage he's from. And since Mary and Joseph, they're also from the same tribe of Judah. So we're told about that. Paul is going to tell us that he's from the tribe of Benjamin. And later on, we're going to read in the book of Acts that Barnabas is from the tribe of Levi. Besides that, there's no one else in the New Testament that we're given this information. You have to wonder, why did God think that Luke needed to give us the information that she was from the tribe of Asher? Now, Asher was one of the 12 tribes. You might not be as familiar with it as you are some of the other tribes. Asher was a rather small tribe. Its land was a good distance from where most of the Bible stories took place. From Jerusalem up to where Asher was located was about 50 miles. They were located on the Mediterranean coast, actually by Tyre and Sidon up there. So they're a good distance away. They were one of what was called the 10 northern tribes of Israel. 722 BC, the Assyrians attacked the 10 northern tribes and overcame them, overthrew them. And they were assimilated into the Assyrian culture. So for 700 years, the tribe of Asher did not exist. And yet Luke tells us she was from the tribe of Asher. So even though the tribe did not exist, many of the Jews still remembered from being passed down in their family what tribe they were from. And she was from the tribe of Asher. But I'm still wondering why he bothers to tell us that. Why that give us that information? Well, Asher was the eighth son born to Jacob by his wife Leah. And when he was born, she gave him that name because the name meant happy and blessed. Asher means happy and blessed. Now, Leah thought she was past childbearing age. So when she had her child, Asher, happy and blessed. And I have to wonder if Luke wants us to think about that. When he tells us Anna is from the tribe of Asher. Because we're talking about an old widow here. A woman who has spent decades by herself without her husband. And sometimes when things like that happen to people, they turn a little bitter. And of course, that's not good. But Anna's just the opposite of that. I think Luke's telling us that she lived up to the family name. Happy and blessed. Even though she faced these difficulties in her life, she had the Lord and she was happy and blessed. Luke also tells us her father's name. And again, that's very unusual in the New Testament. His name was Penuel. And that goes back to the book of Genesis, chapter 23. In the Old Testament, the name was pronounced Peniel. In Genesis chapter 23, read about Jacob. You remember the story. He wrestles with God. He wrestles all night. And in the morning, when he names that place Peniel or Penuel, which means the face of God. Now, could it be possible that Luke is telling us the father's name? So he's just giving us these little hints here. She's a happy and blessed woman from the tribe of Asher. And she also, like Jacob, gets to see the face of God. She gets to see the child, Christ. So just interesting. Maybe something that we can reflect on. Maybe why Luke included that extra information for us. And then Luke tells us she's a prophet. And that's interesting. We do not have a lot of women prophets in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we have Miriam, the sister of Moses. And she writes a song and she sings it and teaches it to the women. And then we have another prophet named Deborah. Now, Deborah was also a judge, the only woman judge. Not only that, she was also a prophetess. And God spoke to her and told her what to tell her general to do, told her what to tell Barak to do. And then we have one more prophetess in the Old Testament, Huldah. And we know very little about her at all, except Josiah went to her and asked that she would inquire of the Lord for him. And then we have Anna. And Anna is a prophet. She spent a lot of time in the temple praying and fasting. And when she saw the Christ child, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to the people who were there. And she spoke about the redemption that he would bring. So she acted like a prophet. So we have Anna, along with Zechariah and Elizabeth and Simeon. These are all senior citizens who are faithfully serving God. And they were there at the time of the birth of Christ. Now, there are three things I want you to think about concerning these senior citizens at the birth of Christ. First of all, God is telling us older people are important. And that's something that we need to hear today because we live in a youth-oriented society and a society that sometimes disregards the elderly. And we could take time and get into the newspapers and talk about a lot of indications of that. But he wants us to understand that older people are important. Listen, when we talk about the shepherds, what are their names? We don't know. We talk about the wise men, what are their names? Well, tradition gives us names, but the Bible does not name them. We don't know. But here, these four senior adults are named Zechariah, Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna. I think God wants us to understand that senior citizens are important to him. The second thing I think he wants us to see is these older adults put their trust in God and he blessed them. He gave Zechariah and Elizabeth a child in the old age. And not just any child, he gave them John the Baptist. You know, some parents are proud of their kids because they get out of the house and they go to college and they get a degree and they get a good job and they're able to buy a fancy house and wear great clothes and go to fancy restaurants. But Zechariah and Elizabeth's boy, he didn't have much money. He ate wild locusts and honey. His clothes were made of camel's hair. But he was a man of God who preached the word of God plainly and simply. And he brought a revival about in Judea. And he prepared a way for Jesus. So he blessed Zechariah and Elizabeth. He blessed Simeon. Simeon seemed to have just one desire in his life. And that was to see the Lord's Messiah. And God gave him that opportunity. And can't you just picture in your mind Simeon, this old man, having the opportunity to take Jesus out of Mary's arms and just to hold him, and you can just see him tenderly gazing at the Christ child and the tears rolling down his cheeks as God blessed him as he said he would. And of course, Anna the prophet was blessed with many years, and she was also blessed with the gift of prophecy. One way her life was hard, she lost her husband after just 7 years. But God blessed her like he blessed Simeon with seeing the Lord's Messiah. So young or old, if you live faithfully for God, God's going to bless you. And the third lesson I want you to see is this. God expects senior citizens to continue to actively serve him. Sometimes we get the idea when an older person is older, they are no longer able to serve or expected to serve. Mom, I'm older, I've done enough. Yet let the young people serve now. Well, young people should serve. But God is showing us the older people should serve also. Now, if you're older, you might be limited by more health issues than maybe a younger person in their 20s or 30s or 40s. Or that might not be true, though. But you do have years of experience that younger people do not have. You have wisdom that comes from those experiences. And you have probably more time on your hands than younger people. So when you think about it, every age group has its advantages and disadvantages. A lot of what you can do yet for God has to do with your attitude. A woman in a convalescent home was given a party to celebrate her 100th birthday, and a reporter came and interviewed her and asked her a number of questions. And one question was, do you have any children? And she said, not yet. Well, you have to appreciate her attitude, don't you? And maybe she was thinking of Abraham and Sarah and the child they had in their old age. But God used many senior adults. Moses and Aaron were 80 years old when they led the Israelites out of Egypt. Daniel was 80 when he was governor in Babylon. You remember what happened at that time? Because he prayed, he was thrown into the lion's den at 80 years of age. You're never too old to pray. Joshua was 80 years old when he led the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. Then they conquered and possessed the land. And now Joshua is in his upper 90s. And he stands before the people of Israel. And he's nervous that they might start following after idols. And he speaks to them and he says this. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And then this old man stands and he says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And he rallied the Israelites. And the Israelites yelled back to him, basically, we will serve the Lord too. And during the time of Joshua and the elders who served during his time, Israel remained faithful to God. He was in his late 90s, yet his life and his words and his example made a tremendous impact upon millions and millions of people. Now, I don't care how old you are. If you are faithfully serving God, you will influence other people to do the same thing. They will see the difference that Jesus made in your life, and because of that, they too may choose to follow Jesus. You are never too old to make your life count for God. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna, they teach us that. If you're here this morning as a Christian, no matter what age you are, I pray that you serve God faithfully. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you need to take the opportunity to accept Christ, the Bible says it's simple. Through faith that leads us to repent of our sins, confess him as Lord and Savior, and to be born again, baptized into him. If you need to make that decision, if you come forward, we can baptize you into Christ today. If you want to talk about it, we can set a time to baptize you into Christ. But don't put off that important decision. Christ came to the world. He was born that you might be saved. Let's stand and sing together our invitation.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.